in your Bible, book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Tonight we come to another of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This particular gift is found to us in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. It is the very first gift found in that particular verse. And the verse reads as follows: to another, faith by the same Spirit. In 1963, a church on Route 46 in Nakong, New Jersey, faced an insurmountable problem. They had just built a new sanctuary on their recently acquired 8-acre property, half of which was mountain and woods. They were told that they would not be granted permanent occupancy until sufficient parking in the rear had been provided. The trouble was that 40 feet of sheer mountain rose abruptly at the back of the church house. On Sunday morning, Pastor Roy Crawford reminded the congregation of Christ's promise, one familiar to all of us, where Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Then Pastor Crawford said, "If you believe that, come on Wednesday night to pray with me that God will move this mountain from behind our church house." Next morning, the phone rang. Telephone company. They were planning to erect a new building, and they needed to fill a large, swampy site. They had learned that the mountain behind the church had the correct proportions of sand and clay and rock for the required fill. Within a month, the phone company had hauled away 40,000 square yards of fill, for which they paid the church $5,400. Not only removing the mountain, but leveling the ground required for the parking and preparing the land for parking. Paul lists faith as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is obviously not saving faith, for every Christian has saving faith, or he wouldn't be a Christian. For by grace are we saved through faith, Paul reminds us. Nor is this the faith that's required to live the victorious Christian life. The Bible does declare that we live by faith and not by sight, and that is true. We're not talking about that kind of faith. The gift of faith is the outstanding faith that God has given to some members of the body of Christ to enable them to rely upon the Lord in a special way for the accomplishment of some specific task or for some special demonstration of God's nature and power. Faith which is given in this way is faith that dares. It is faith that moves mountains. It is faith which expects great things from God and which in turn attempts great things for God. Rick Yon, a pastor in California, says that the gift of faith is the special ability that God gives some believers to believe in Him for the impossible. The person who possesses this gift has the ability to envision what it is that God wants to accomplish in his life and in his family and in his business or in his church. He also recognizes the obstacles that keep the average Christian from even asking God to fulfill that kind of vision. Everyone else may sit back and say, "Let's use common sense. What you suggest or what you dream is impossible. It can't be done. There are just too many problems." But the person who has the gift of faith is not deterred. Probably the greatest example of a person with the gift of faith since Bible times is a man by the name of George Mueller, who by faith operated an orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for 10 5,000 orphans over a period of 60 years, receiving some $5 million in free will offerings in the process. He began his work with orphans with only 2 shillings in his pocket. Without once making known any need that he had, he received enough to build 5 large homes able to house 2,000 orphans, and also enough to feed these children day after day for a period of over 60 years, all by faith and prayer. Never once did they go without a meal. Often when the pantry was bare, the children sat down to eat, but help always arrived in the nick of time. One morning when not a speck of milk or food was on hand to feed hundreds of hungry orphan children, everyone seated expectantly at the breakfast table, Mueller prayed a prayer like this: "Father, we thank thee for the food that you are going to give us." Came a knock at the door. A baker stood at the door, and this is what he said: "I was awakened at 2 a.m., and I felt that I should bake some bread just for you." And so he gave him bread. A few minutes later came another knock. A milkman said, "My milk wagon just broke down in front of your place, and I must get rid of these cans of milk before I can take the wagon in for repairs. Can you use this milk?" Mueller testified that thousands of times they were without food for another meal and without funds to purchase food. But not once did God fail to provide the food necessary. Mueller operated by strict rules which governed the acceptance of funds that came to them. No appeals whatever were made. Never was any existing need revealed to any outsider, lest it be construed as a request for aid. Mueller once withheld an annual report to keep people from knowing of the orphans' dire financial straits. Though he never asked for money, he did ask for more and more orphans. Nor would he accept money from those in debt, once returning such a gift, even though insufficient funds were in hand to meet the needs of that particular day. Now, the person who possesses the gift of faith will limit his asking to those things that God wants. That is, the person who has the gift of faith, when he attempts these great things for God, he will be sure that the thing that he asks is the thing that God desires. His desire will correspond with God's desire. Faith is the firm conviction that God wishes to do something remarkable. Faith thinks big because it thinks the kind of big that God wants them to think. George Mueller always first determined in advance that he was doing God's will before he attempted any task. Then, resting on the promises of the Bible, he came boldly into the presence of God, pleading his case argumentatively, arguing with God, presenting his case before God, giving his reasons why God should answer. No delay discouraged him. Once he was persuaded that a thing was right, he just went right on praying and praying until the answer came. Mueller himself said, "I never give up. Tens of thousands of times my prayers have been answered." And he knew what he was talking about, for he kept a complete record of his prayers. He wrote them down in a journal. It covered over 3,000 pages, it contained nearly 1,000,000 words, and it chronicled answers to some 50,000-plus specific prayers. This gift of faith is the kind that prompts prayer which thanks God in advance before the thing is granted, as though it were an accomplished fact. This is the way Jesus prayed when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Transatlantic sea captain, after 22 hours on the ship's bridge in a dense fog off the banks of Newfoundland, I don't know how you say that, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, one of those little provinces up there in northeast Canada, was tapped on his shoulder. It was Mueller, George Mueller, the man I just talked to you about. Then, in his 70s, "Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." This was Wednesday. When the captain said it was impossible, Mueller replied, "Well, if your boat can't take me there, God will find some other way." I've never broken an engagement in 57 years. "I'd like to help," responded the captain, "but what can I do?" "Let's go below and pray," Mueller responded. "But Mr. Mueller, don't you know how dense this fog is?" Mueller said, "My eye is not on the fog, but my eye is on the God who controls the fog, and the God who controls every circumstance of life." So down on his knees, Mueller prayed the simplest prayer that the ship captain had ever heard. In fact, in the captain's opinion, the prayer fit the prayer of a child. Of course, that's really good because that's what Jesus told us we ought to pray when we pray like a child and have faith like a child. Mueller prayed there in the captain's presence, "Oh Lord, if thou wilt, remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou dost know the engagement made for me on Saturday." Putting his hand on the captain's shoulder, Mueller restrained the captain from praying. "First," he said to the captain, "you don't believe God will do it. And second, I believe he has done it. And so there's no need for you to pray. Open the door, captain, you'll find the fog gone." And so it was. And Mueller kept his Saturday engagement in Quebec. Well, Mueller was very modest about this great faith that God had given him. In fact, he disclaimed that he had the gift of faith when it's quite obvious to everybody else that he did. But he wrote on one occasion, "It pleased the Lord to give me in some cases." Talk about modesty, friend. Here's a guy who had recorded over 50,000 specific answers to prayer. "It pleased the Lord to give me in some cases something like the gift of faith, so that I could unconditionally ask and look for an answer." The gift of faith is seen in the ministry of the prophet Elijah. One day as he entered the village of Zarephath, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her for a cup of water. And as she was going to get it, he asked her to bring him some bread as well. And when he asked for the bread, she said, "I swear by the Lord that I don't have a single piece of bread in this house. I have only a handful of flour left and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. And I was just in the process of gathering a few sticks together to cook this last meal, and then my son and I shall eat it, and then we shall die of starvation." Exercising faith in a miracle-working God, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and cook that last meal, and bake me a little loaf of bread first, and afterward there will still be enough food for you and for your son. For the Lord says there will be plenty of flour and oil left in your container until the time when the Lord sends the rain and the crops come again." So this lady did just as Elijah suggested to her, and Elijah and she and her son continued to eat from their supply of flour and oil as long as it was needed. No matter how much they used, there was always some left in the container, just as the Lord had said through Elijah. Shortly after Dallas Theological Seminary was established and founded in 1924, it almost went bankrupt. All the creditors were going to foreclose at noon on a particular day. So on that morning, the founders of the school met in the office of the president to pray that God would provide. And in that prayer meeting was a man named Harry Ironside, who later was pastor of the great Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. When it was Ironside's turn to pray, he prayed this prayer: "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us some money." While they were praying, a tall Texan with boots on and an open collar came into the business office of the seminary. And this is what he said to the secretary: "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, and it just won't work, and I feel that God is compelling me to give this money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." The secretary took the door, and knowing the criticalness of the hour financially, went to the door and timidly tapped. And when she finally got a response from some of those men inside the president's office, Dr. Schaefer, the president of the seminary, came to the door and took the check, and it was for the exact amount that they owed. When Schaefer looked at the signature on the check, he recognized the name of the man who had signed the check as a big cattle rancher. So he turned to Dr. Harry Ironside and he said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Well, Dr. Ironside was a man gifted with faith. He knew God's word, and he claimed his promise. So was Elijah. So was Mueller. And so are some of we. The gift of faith can't be demanded. Like all the gifts of the Spirit, it's Spirit bestowed, just as the Spirit wills. We have it because God in His sovereign grace has given it to us. Or we don't have it because God in His grace determines that that's not the gift that we need. But like every other gift of the Holy Spirit, it must be exercised in love. Do you understand and see what a great thing it is to have this particular gift in the body? Those with the gift of faith, who have vision, and who can see further than others see, and see before others see, and see something as accomplished before, in fact, it has come to pass. That's faith. Manly Beasley said faith is something like believing God in advance. And it's acting like something is so before, in fact, it becomes so, because in heaven it is so, and because in heaven it is so, it's going to be so down here. That's faith. And all of us have some faith, but to some, God has given a special manifestation of the gift of faith. And if you've got it, you need to exercise. Does somebody have something they'd like to share tonight? Some victory to let us rejoice with you about, or some burden you want us to bear with you and take to the Lord in prayer? Anybody? Did you have a hand up? No? Okay. You had your hand up. Yeah.
Victory and a prayer request.
Okay.
People have been praying for me. A few weeks ago, I'm in the military and I'm coming here to go to school on a special program. And tonight, I'm really watching back and forth about whether I want to do it or not, or stay in the program or not. And this morning, when you, in your sermon, you were talking about how we have our gifts and if we should use our gifts. And I thought back to the time when I was using some of my gifts at my best time when I was in Florida in a church there, working with singles and a couple class, and that the Lord kind of told me there that that's really what I need to be doing, not being in school. And so I'm going to drop out of the program I'm in, go back into the Air Force, which I'm in, and as an enlisted person, and then be used wherever the Lord uses me in that church. And I think that I have continued to work for the Lord during this time, from the time in Florida, which was went to the Philippines and to California, and I worked in the church. But I was all the time using an academic searching to kind to grow stronger through that. And I just want the church to pray for me that as I do this, that the Lord will work it out, and wherever they send me in the military, that there'll be a place that I can be used.
Alright.
That He'll work it out with the Air Force about me just being here at such a temporary time. And I'll be leaving soon.
Okay. Good.
And I feel good about it.
Let's bow together and pray for Tom. Somebody go.